talk to Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne. It's John.
Hey, bud.
How we doing? I tried to reprocess, but I got the same error code.
Okay, let me just give you another damn card number then.
All right, I kind of figured that was going to be the resolution. All right,
I'm sitting here trying to print out blueprints and put them together for a big-ass job, so you ain't got time to go fight Chase Bank.
Well, you know what's crazy? It's not really fighting it. It's just that the merchant processing is actually a Google merchant processing. So all those transactions would be out of state. It would be registered to your bank as like a California transaction. So it's pretty common if you have like a good bank that has good security on the card that they're going to decline
it. Oh, they got plenty.
Yeah. They're going to decline it until you tell them, hey, no, that was approved by me. Otherwise, they just don't let it go.
It's not you guys. You're not scamming me, are you?
No, not at all. We're Google partners, so, I mean, it's the only way any business can get on the first
page. Scam calls I get in a day, dude. I've gotten to where I can keep these people on the phone for a while.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Reuben
called me the other day.
What
yeah,
was that?
His name was Reuben. He called himself Reuben. I said, your name's Reuben?
That might have been one of ours.
He's heavily Pakistani.
Oh, yeah, no, not one of our agents. They'll sound like they're from the States, 100%.
No, it come from spam risk. That's my girlfriend, according to my wife.
Your wife's got good,
yeah, one of them,
good
no, it wasn't that. Brian, it was, the guy that sang something in the orange? No, it wasn't Luke Bryan, it was Brian, anyway, one of them straight up clefted the name off of a recent country guy, Zach Bryan.
Oh,
said, my
I
name's
love
Zach Bryan.
Bryan. I would have caught on to that right away. Yeah,
I was like,
okay.
I said, your name's Zach Bryan. I said, tell me something. sing something in the orange.
Yeah, something in the orange. Heading south. Heading south.
Some of them a bit hung up on me.
I bet he did. Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Well, we're good to go here. I already have all the information to create the account. As I've been telling you earlier, once I process this, it's going to send you automatically a full outline of the agreement in writing. You'll get the invoice receipt, so that way you can write it off as a business expense. And then you'll have to sign off on that. You'll also get a username and a password for your guys' account dashboard and tracking system. We have an app that you can download to help you keep track of all the leads that we're bringing in for you. And then we'll have that client interview scheduled for Friday between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Yep. Sounds like the same thing we talked about 2 hours ago.
Yep. Yep. Not a scam. All right. I'm ready for you.
It made me feel better that you spoke at least some American.
Yeah. I'm born and raised. Actually, I was born in Southern California in Huntington Beach, actually. So I'm a SoCal native.
Almost Tito Ortiz, the world's smartest man.
Yeah, he's not very smart, but our city's been going crazy since the Charlie Kirk passing. You know, they had some riots out there. And,
that's sad.
Yeah, it's kind of known as, like, they call it the Orange Curtain. It's known for being really far right. Just an area of California that's really far right, when most of it's really, like, left. So I think they're close. The middle's where it's at, but I think they're kind of closer.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. I mean, I try not to get too far into politics unless I know somebody, but it's not a left right thing, my argument is, I ain't writing a thesis on it, but there's no such thing as a political spectrum. It is a circle. Once you go far enough one direction, you run into the same crazy assholes on the other side.
Exactly. That's what I tell people all the time. I found that with religion, too. Like, I was raised Christian. I tell people, you know, Christians aren't the problem. Muslims aren't the problem. The Jews aren't even the problem, as much as, you know, that gets portrayed. It's the extremists. It's the extremists of anything, whether it's extreme left, extreme right, extreme Jewish, extreme Christian. You know what I mean? If we go around and start crucifying people because they broke the Ten Commandments, everybody's going to die. That's not the message, you know? So, I agree with you on that one.
It wasn't really what Charlie Kirk was saying either, so.
Yeah, I know. I actually really like that guy a lot. That broke my heart to see that happen.
Yeah, it's the only good thing that's come out of this is there have been a lot of people going to church and getting saved.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I went to
the thing about it is, like, even if you don't believe there is a God, if you don't found your moral principles on that,
that rock, that unmoving
standard, then the goalpost can go anywhere you want to. You can justify any 100%. Atrocity you want. It can be argued that Hitler was right from their own logic, and they don't even understand it.
Yeah, that gave me goosebumps because I agree 100%. Like, it's all about a moral compass. I have two boys, and my lady's like, oh, you want to start talking to them about God? They're so small, you know, like 4 and 5 years old. And I go, yeah. You know, I started learning about it when I was 7. My grandfather's taking me to Sunday school every Sunday. I look forward to it. And it gave me a moral ground. I told my wife, I was like, that's when I went through the hard times in my life. That's the reason why I didn't hurt nobody. It's not that I couldn't. It's just I don't want to go to hell. I ain't worried about jail. I don't want to go to hell.
I mean, there's nothing that you could physically do to get you into heaven. There's only one path to heaven. It ain't got nothing to do with what you do here on earth.
Yeah, you got
to get that right. No, obviously you shouldn't go around taking advantage of people.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if that was the case. I love what I do.
I'm a people person. So
I can tell.
I'm really more concerned about people than I am about money. We're going to make the money. Obviously, we have to stay in business. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to take care of the customer because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I like something that happened. The first interaction that I had with you was like the first two sentences I remembered this morning. And you go, I'm driving with my son.
Yeah, both my kids work for me.
Yeah, but that's just awesome. You know what I mean? Like that just kind of let me know the kind of character like right out of the gate in your first sentence.
Well,
and I don't know if that stuck with you.
Yeah.
That stuck with me. I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's family owned, operated.
Yeah, the guy that owns it, his whole family works here. They, you know, they're a team, dude. That's what family's for.
Yeah. Those are the businesses that are successful because good help's hard to come by, but obviously you're going to find good help within your family. You know what I mean? If you guys all have the common goal. Now, some people do. I mean, everybody's got that wretch in the family. Hopefully you don't hire them. But
if you don't know who it is.
Yeah, that's what? Scary. Yeah, that's scary too. You know, sometimes they don't unmask themselves until they.
Yeah, you know, my oldest one's he'll be 25 in November, and the youngest one's 20. He'll be 21 next June.
Mm.
If I had any advice to give a father that has two boys, first and foremost, keep them in church, and second, put them in wrestling.
Yeah. I've been telling my lady wrestling and jujitsu. I have a cousin who's like really profound. Does like state? He coaches like state high school.
I did that too.
It's like outside of school though. It's like a league or I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, there are clubs. Like we club wrestled all summer and then high school wrestled during the season. But the thing about California, they have so many really good wrestlers, not only because there's 85 bajillion people, but there's only one category. There's 25,000 kids a year participating just in the boys' side. I don't know how many girls, probably 12,000, 15,000.
Wow.
So on the boys' side, there's probably 25,000 average competitors per year. And there's only one championship per weight group. So, like, in my boys' case, both of my boys are state champions. But we had three different divisions because there's such a discrepancy in school sizes in Alabama. Like, the smaller schools, like, even if you go from 6A to 5A, the amount of money difference and the total number of kids difference is so big that even the elite level 5A schools are not – they're average at best in the 6A world.
Wow.
So
they're really behind. That's a pretty significant discrepancy, though. But you do see that a lot. Like, I went to a school that was private in my last year of high school. And my mom had passed away when I was young. And I went to this school called Brethren Christian, and they gave me a scholarship over there. And I had originally played at Modern Day. I don't know if you ever heard of Modern Day, but they're like huge. Huge. Division I school. So I went from there to the private school, and it's open division in the private school. So it was nuts. I looked like Superman playing football out there. It was crazy. They would just hand me the ball every time they could, you know. And but it was tough because we'd play really good teams, and our line would just get blown up. And, you know, they would try to dump me off a screen pass real quick, and I'd run for my life. You know, it was different. It was like playing 1 against 20. Good kids. I was on the team.
I don't know how old you are.
I'm 32.
I don't know how old you are. Yeah. Do you remember the show on MTV called Two A Days about Hoover High School?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right up the street from here. And they were going, they went out to Tulsa Union, who had like a 56 game home winning streak, hung a half a hundred on them, got on the plane and went home. Like, I thought y'all had football teams in Oklahoma. You serious?
Yeah.
But when the coach, Rush Probst left, it all changed. He went over to, he left there and went over to Colquitt County, Georgia, retired in Alabama, went over to Colquitt County, Georgia and won like three championships over there. And, then he came back over to here where we actually are at Bell City and coached for a little while, but Bell City's always kind of had a politics problem with their football program. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter how good of a coach they have. They're never going to have any success.
Yeah. The wrestling thing, you're really right though. 'Cause my cousin, I got two boys. My cousin's got six kids. He's got three girls and three boys and they all wrestle. He coaches wrestling and, he was real well off young. He made a lot of money with the business that he sold. So he just dedicates all his time to that, but he's like, drop your boys off with me every summer. He's like, just bring them over here and let them roll around. You know, I'll teach them how to be disciplined. And he's done a great job with them, but I was thinking that or jujitsu. I just want them to be able to defend themselves when they get to school. I don't want to be going
down
there.
Well, I'll tell you this, jujitsu is fun, but it's fake.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too. Like, who starts a fight on their back? The point is to not get there, not get pulled down into it. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Or even maybe mixed martial arts, have them do some wrestling or some boxing.
My youngest one goes to one of the brothers that ran the wrestling club ventured out. He teaches, coaches jiu-jitsu. He's got a 10th planet. And he was a professional MMA fighter, so he teaches kickboxing and boxing and stuff like that. So my youngest son goes there about two or three nights a week and gets, you know, kicked in the guts and punched in the face, and then he wrestles
my
too.
My boys are so strong. They're just so lean. Like, I was a D1 athlete, and so was my wife. My wife ran track.
You got some good genetics. You should use them.
But you could see their abs already. They're 4 and 5 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
you ain't feeding them enough, man.
I try to feed them everything. I even put them on those Pediasure Growing Gains, like chocolate milk protein shakes, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I try to get them to put on some weight, and I just try to stuff food in them as much as possible. Their metabolism's just so high. They're just string beans. It's just muscle and bone, you know?
Yeah, that's the way my youngest one is, but, like, they're so different. My oldest one was our starting 187 as a 12-year-old.
Ooh.
And then my youngest one didn't surpass 95 pounds till freshman year, and then he was 135 all of a sudden.
Wow,
so
that's real.
My oldest one won 220 with abs.
Mm, wow.
And the youngest one won 145 with abs. But when
that's
you wrestle, that you can't eat enough. But yeah, abs ain't a sign of strength. It's a sign you don't eat enough.
It is. It's they always say abs are made in the kitchen. I've always had the genetics where I just kind of had it. I got lucky. I guess that's what my mom says anyway, because everybody in my family is real big, and I was kind of the runt of the family, but I'd whoop on all of them. You know, I told them, you guys don't pray enough. That's your problem. My grandpa's taking me to Sunday school, and you guys are staying home because you don't want to wake up. You just want to lay around and eat. I'd get up and work real early.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's the thing that wrestling builds that other things really don't is discipline, like, my oldest son still does Olympic weightlifting. He got into CrossFit. They won a competition Saturday.
And
his partner. But he got heavy into CrossFit. And if he was on gear, he would be in the top 10. But he'll never make the games until he gets on gear. But like I said, I mean, he's snatching like 275 right now.
Whew.
He's cleaning jerks like almost 400 right now. And that's at 210, 220 pounds body weight.
That's about my size, but I'm actually like really, I'm about 6'1", but I'm actually really lean for what I do. I started Ironman training 2 years ago, and then I did a full Ironman California last year, and I'm going to do it again in a month.
He does the CrossFit shit, so he'll do like Murph every year.
Yeah, I love
the
Murph.
The first year he did Murph, he did strict pull-ups.
Yeah, the pull-ups are the hardest part of the Murph. I get through the run so easy from all the running. I've done so many marathons and stuff. The run's easy. The squat's easy. I got legs for days. But it's just doing those. The push-ups are pretty easy, too. It's the pull-ups. Like, for some reason, I get to the end of those pull-ups, and I start doing that CrossFit pull-up where you kind of throw your body up.
The butterfly.
Yeah.
The butterfly.
Yeah, start kicking your legs a little bit to get the last few of that 100. Otherwise, I'll just be hanging there all day. The form just leaves.
Plus, I mean, but I hate butterflies because it kills your shoulders.
Yeah, it does. It's just
my wife is like super strong, so that's where our kids get it from. My wife deadlifts like 360 right now, and we're in our late 40s.
Wow.
So,
no kidding.
No, she does. She's strong as shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think women, they are pretty. I didn't think about that, but yeah, my lady, she squats like 250, but she's only like 110.
That's not bad.
Yeah, she's only like 110. She's really small.
Yeah.
She's only like 5'1". She's real, all legs and fast, tight toned. Yeah. She's 30, I'm 32, but we've always worked out. Like when we first started dating, we would go to the gym for dates, you know, everybody go out, have a drink. I'd say, meet me at the gym and do workouts together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skylar used to get it. My wife got him into CrossFit, and my wife kind of looks like Jessica Biel.
Oh yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, she, there for a while, she was kind of built like Jessica Biel in the Blade series. She's strong as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that just give you a visual reference?
Attaboy, Dwayne.
But Skylar,
Lord takes care of his.
Skylar loves football. He's really good at football.
Yeah, that was
great. He was our Mike linebacker. His junior year, he had 126 tackles.
Wow. Yeah, that guy can fly around. That's just instinct.
Yeah, he didn't get any day one.
Play middle, you got to have really good instincts too. Because if you get
wrong,
they're so quick. You're wrong by a small margin, and those guys are gone. I ran a 4.3 in high school. That actually was my tote to fame was just my speed. That's how I ended up getting my scholarship. And I was real fast. And I remember.
Yeah, if he would have been a step faster, he would have got a lot of day one offers, but. He didn't.
I didn't get fast until I stretched out, though. I was my freshman year. I was 137 pounds, and I remember I was 5'4". I remember doing the physical. Like I wasn't tall.
Yeah.
But the summer going into my sophomore year, I grew 6 inches. I went up to 5'10" going into the sophomore year, and then but my knees were hurting, so I went from not that fast to super slow. And then once I healed from that, I was just drinking milk every day. And working out, and then all of a sudden I got that fast switch back from all the running. I started going real, built up my leg strength, and just started running real quick, jumping real high too.
Yeah. He would get up with her and go do a 5 a.m. CrossFit class. He would come home, not even bother shower, and go straight to school because they had preschool practice in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd go straight to school 7 o'clock. They'd have a full football practice before school, get the showers, go to school, he would come home and work out again in our garage.
Yeah. You know what's crazy?
Everybody's
that
like,
I noticed?
What are you feeding him? I'm like, I can't feed him enough. Like, what are you talking about?
When I go down to Google, everybody just thinks we're all a bunch of nerds. But you know what I noticed? A lot of it is D1 athletes. I kid you not. And it's something about that when you wake up in the morning and you train. Like we have a gym right downstairs from the Google headquarters. It's called Equinox. It's right under work. You know, you could go in there, work out, change. But these guys come in there at like 5 o'clock and then they'll start the day at 7 and they're already, you know, 2 hours into their day, completed a whole workout and ready to go. And it just makes you clear. Something about the people that exercise, you start the day doing something hard. Everything else is easy. And we don't care if we got to build a bunch of sites or have a bunch of conversations. We're already rolling. Get a cup of coffee and we just roll, you know? And I noticed that that's a common trend with successful people is they exercise early in the morning. It's like the first thing they do to just get the blood flowing.
Or really late at night.
Yeah, I can't sleep when I train at night. My wife loves training at night. She loves it. I come home, I'm a little tired. She's like, okay, here you go. Take the boys. I'm going to the gym. And I'm like, whoa, how are you going to sleep? But I'm always out early, too. I go to bed like 9:30.
Shit. That's way past my bedtime. What do you hit, 40? You'll see.
I haven't slowed down yet. I like to get up early, though. I got to swim. I got a swim schedule. I got a bike schedule. I got a running schedule. I did 6 miles this morning, and I'm supposed to do another 6 tonight, 6.55, so that way it's a half marathon throughout the day.
Hell, yeah. Yeah, Brady was the youngest one. The smaller one, he never really cared for football, which was fine. So he got into cross country to kind of stay kind of in shape for wrestling.
So I tell my wife on a Saturday and just go run like 9 miles, just whatever.
Yeah, I don't want my boys playing yet. My oldest son's old enough to. I was about 5 when I started. My dad threw me in it as early as he could, and I already liked it. But I don't want to let them play yet until they're, you know, they can play flag, but I don't want them playing tackle football until maybe like 13, 14. And if they
want. Yeah, now Skyler begged us and begged us and begged us. I didn't force any sport on either one of them, even though I loved football very much.
Yeah.
I started when I was like 5, and I never missed a beat. I never got hurt playing football except for one
broken finger.
Always gravitate
towards what dad does, though. I noticed that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but, the thing was, my cousin Chad, where they went to daycare used to be a big softball field behind the church I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of the softball field because everybody was tired of messing with softball, and they built a multi-purpose center with a daycare in it.
Mm.
And so they went to daycare there. Well, Chad, so nobody could scout his team instead of practicing in the usual place, he would have his team up there on the rest of what was left of the softball field, good flat spot with grass on it.
Right.
He would go practice up there. Well, Skyler was 3 years old, and he was just over there hanging through the fence watching this football stuff go on.
That'll do it.
So he started when he was 3 years old. He started, I want football. He's calm down. So when he was 4, he just kept on at me. Well, I knew the coach because he was playing T-ball on the coach's team. And I was like, Jimmy, he wants to play football. I was like, what do you think? He's only 4. He's 43 pounds. He's like, well, he'll be fine as far as that goes. He's like, we ain't going to beat him up or nothing, but. He's like, he ain't going to play a lot, but, you know, if he wants to be out there, whatever. So his first year, he didn't play a lot, and I had to make him stick with it. He got frustrated a little bit in the beginning of the year, but by the end of the year, he was playing with 6 and 7 year olds. He was 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the end of the year, he was putting some of the better players on their ass pretty regular. So it was all uphill from there. And then, like I said, he was at one point, he was about 238, 240. He was playing D line.
That's solid.
And he had to wrestle heavyweight about half that season. He looked at me and said, I'm not doing this shit no more. I'm cutting to 220 and coaching kiss my ass.
Yeah.
So he moved back to linebacker, and it wasn't
just a lot to carry around and keeping up with all the eating and stuff too. It would make you hate to eat when you're trying to keep weight on.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, he went from being a, you know, built like a tank to being more like Bo Jackson.
Yeah. That's one thing I'm worried about is, like, I'm really lean right now. I know I'm 32, so I'm still somewhat young enough to do all this stuff. But I'm as lean as I think I can get, and I'm, like, 205. So I feel like there's nothing left to really burn. Like, when you're doing Ironmans, you're just burning thousands of calories a day.
Yeah, and me, I'm more of a power lifter, so I don't mind the extra weight.
Yeah, I go through phases, though. I used to be in the 1,000-pound club, just focused on lifting for a while, and then I was like, okay, let me try to run. Let me work on my endurance, see how long I could run. And then I ran a couple marathons, started realizing I liked running long distance, get my endorphins going. And then I go, okay, what's the next challenge? And then I started doing Ironman. I think that just I did some therapy, too, at one point, because I started getting angry all the time, and they told me that a lot of times when you lose your parents when you're young, not my dad, but my mom. I watched my mom suffer from cancer. That you have this kind of like trauma, and a lot of that trauma, they turn into like endurance athletes, where they're basically like abusing themselves. Like, It's like, how deep into the pain cave can I go? So I didn't get the same satisfaction out of lifting heavy as I would from putting myself, you know, 20 miles deep and my body falling apart and see if I can keep it moving, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I've been falling in love with.
Well, hell yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm keeping you from doing the job, but I'll give you this credit card number if you're ready for it. And we'll do
I'm ready. Sorry. Go ahead.
4246.
4246.
3154.
3154.
3002.
3002.
1335.
Okay, and the expiration date, month and year?
Same, 12/29.
12/29, and then 3-digit code on the back.
782.
782. Okay, and we already did the voice verification, so same deal. I'm just gonna try to reprocess this one. Hang on the line with me so I can make sure it goes through this time, okay?
Yeah, no problem. I ain't gonna hang on there.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a couple proposals to churn out, and I'm sitting here running my mouth.
it's awesome. I love how much you love your boys, though, because I'm in the same boat. I got two of them. They're at each other's throat every day until I get
That's
home.
How that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine may be that way, but if you interfered, you're done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you ever try to mess with the two of them, I've watched that happen on the playground before, too. I took them out there last Saturday, actually. That happened. I was actually proud of it because they're always fighting each other, so it was kind of nice. And that was our whole mindset around having another one. It was like at least they had each other, you know. But that was the first time was on Saturday. We went to the playground and this older boy, he was about 7, and my boys are 4 and 5, and he started picking on the oldest. My youngest is a little more stocky than my oldest. I don't know why. Maybe God just knows what he's doing. he could defend himself against his brother, no problem. But he saw his older brother getting picked on, and the little man stepped in there, wrapped his arm around his neck, and pulled him to the ground. And they started fighting him. I was laughing. The dad got up and started screaming at my boys. I go, hey, you touch them, I'm going to touch you. Just leave it alone, you know. I told him to get off the kid. And I was like, hey, your son started it, you know, so. It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't even, they're kids. They're going to fight.
Yeah. Just oh, yeah. We got in the car, though. I was giving them high fives. Like, yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. If you allow the boys to rough play, which they need, and if people will allow their boys to kind of get some of that out of them when they're kids and learn that putting your hands on somebody, you can hurt them, or they can hurt you back, it makes for a much more peaceful adult.
Oh, 100%.
It makes for an adult with a fundamental understanding of how the world works around them.
Yeah. Life is fragile, too. You got to understand that. But, no, I forced that on my boys. I've been forcing that on them for a long time. And then my wife's just like, oh, you got a roughhouse. And then they get all fired up, and they're running around all over the place.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's
what I try to explain it to her. I'm like, look, I'm a boy. Like, there's nothing better. I used to wish my dad had energy when he'd come home so that we could roll around. You know what I mean? So
They got to have that, dude. You're doing them a favor even if she don't understand it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I always grab them, and right when I get home, I'm like, okay, let's go outside, and we'll stay outside till the sun goes down. You know what I mean? I don't know if
I got a couple of Dobermans I do that with now since the boys are big enough to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah. Just rough the dogs up, go let them run around. But that's basically what it is. Like, having the two of them, it's like having dogs. It's like, okay, I got to walk these dudes and wear them out, or else it's going to be a nightmare trying to get them to go to bed. And I'm dead tired by like 9:30, so I'm not trying to fight them at night, you know. But your payment cleared, by the way. I didn't know if you got these text messages coming through.
Yeah, it just came through.
Okay. So in there, just to brief you on it, Dwayne, there's going to be a text message that'll say, Dwayne.
Thank you for choosing Local Slash.
That's it. And there's a link in there. And everything's in writing in there, okay. And then I also emailed over the receipt, because I know you mentioned if it was a write-off for the business. So the receipts will get sent to you every month, so that way you can write them off. And then you do got to sign that subscription terms, and then we're basically good to go. Until
I didn't mean to put
interview.
You on hold. I opened my damn computer again, and it puts you on hold. That pisses me off.
Oh, sorry. I don't know where it cut me off. I've been rambling the whole time.
It was about 5 seconds. No big deal. All good. Oh,
okay.
Probably something you already told me.
Yeah, more than likely. I'm just repeating stuff. So, yeah, you just got to sign the subscription terms. Your username, password's in there. We have an app. It's called the Local Slash app. Highly recommend you download that just to make sure we're not missing out on any leads from any of the platforms that we're going to submit you to. And then we'll follow up with you on Friday. I got you locked in between 9 and 10. We'll do that client interview with you.
Gotcha. All right.
Did you want me to
email?
Did you want me to add your partner to this?
Which partner?
I don't know. There's just a note in here from the lady you spoke with at the beginning of the call this morning, Tara. She put in here.
Yeah, well, I was kind of feeling that out to see if it was a scam.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, we're partnered with Google, so they record all our conversations and everything, and then they put notes of every conversation, so that way nothing gets lost in translation. So it just said may have partner, and then I'm supposed to always double check and make sure the partner's involved.
All
that
good.
Way, if we get a call from them, you know, we know who
we're
talking
to. I mean, the way it is, technically speaking, like we talked about earlier, it's 4BGBA.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Yeah, we're all good.
yeah, it's going to be under Precise Plumbing Solutions. I got it all set.
Yeah.
There's a pin coming to you in the mail. Don't mistake it for junk mail. You can't miss it. I mean, it says Google right on it. It's going to that Suite 3 address that you gave me. But there's a little 5-digit number on the back of that I'll need from you when it comes in. So.
All right, and I've got your phone number here, and it puts your contact here. You got an iPhone, apparently, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So when you send a text message to that number, even though it comes to me first as account manager, there's going to be another account manager, but it'll actually go company-wide. So, I mean, you're basically messaging the whole company. And then so if it's like, even if I'm not available at that moment, there's always somebody to be available to, like, respond to you and help you with your business account.
I got you. So, yeah, I'll go to this link.
Take your time with it. It's no rush, but everything's documented in writing there. As I mentioned, like, you can cancel at any time. You're going to keep that $299 rate for this platinum package, and it'll have all the products and features and an explanation of all the products and features that we'll be providing for your company. So that way you know what we're bringing to the table each month.
No problem, man.
All right, Dwayne. Well, thank you for signing up. You know, I'm looking forward to working with you. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns along the way, you know, don't hesitate to ask. I always say the business owner that's educated on what we do is the happiest one, because he knows what he's paying for each month.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate to call. We're always here for you. Make sure everything's working and make sure leads are coming in regularly. And then I think after a month or two, you'll probably wind up leaving HomeAdvisor. I don't know how you feel about them. I know we talked a little bit, and you were saying it's up in the air. Sometimes the calls don't answer. Well, my plan is that once we get all this up and running to its full capacity, you know, you'll have enough leads to where you won't need to entertain that system much longer.
It's got this connect to Google thing on there. Do I need to just hit that so y'all can optimize it?
Yeah, I didn't see a Google Business profile out there for Precise Plumbing Solutions. I think we have
That's
to create
probably
it for
because
you.
Of that PO box thing.
Yeah, we have to create it for you and verify it. Don't worry about that right now. As long as it's signed and it's going to automatically log you in after you sign it, don't worry about that. We have to create it, verify you, and then we still got to do a client interview on Friday before we can even customize it and have it go live. So.
Fair enough. I will leave it be for the time being.
Yep, you're good to go. If anything changes or you have any questions, comments, or concerns, like I said, don't hesitate to call, but enjoy the rest of your day today and tomorrow, and then look out for our call on Friday at 9 a.m.
That's a big 10-4, good buddy.
All right. Well, God bless you, brother. I'm looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, you as well, man. Thanks for the combo.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.